Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. I would like to talk to you about God's way to happiness. Happiness is much sought after by mankind. It is proven to be elusive, very difficult sometimes to attain, very difficult to retain. But God wants people to be genuinely happy. The faith of Jesus Christ is not totally for the next world, friend, but it's also for this one. Following Christ is the way of happiness. When people ask what they want out of life, what they want for their children, what is their wish for the world, time and time again the answer is that happiness is the goal. We hear the words of refugees who flee their homelands and come to this country. They say openly and repeatedly that they've come seeking happiness. Well, to be happy is accepted and recognized as a desirable end. Therefore, people make great efforts to be happy. Many make terrible mistakes, however, trying to reach happiness, and even do things that destroy the possibility of happiness in their search. But we know that God wants people to be happy, because He has provided and taught the way of happiness. What we also need to learn that is God's way to happiness is not the way that men devise. As in other things, the way of the Lord is the right way, and the way of man is the way of deception and death. It is inferior to the way of the Lord. It's not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. God's ways are so much higher than man's ways, Isaiah tells us. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death, Proverbs 14 and verse 12. Now, in our lesson, we want to consider ways that men have tried and failed to be happy. Our study is primarily from the book of Ecclesiastes and the inspired report of Solomon. We need such a study so we can set our goals and establish our proper priorities and to learn to keep our head on straight. Solomon had power and prestige and honor and prominence in this world. He said, "So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem." Well, he was evidently impressed with his own greatness in the eyes of the people of this world. And with his power as king, he obtained whatever he wished. He had armies and chariots, maidservants, men servants, nations were paying tribute to him. Everyone feared and respected him because of his worldly greatness and his honor and his prestige. Well, there is such a thing as striving among some people for recognition. They seek popularity and acceptance. Some are willing to pay almost any price to be ranked among men. They use all means to obtain the limelight, even do weird and bizarre things to get recognition and to feel important. Well, what they're doing is feeding their ego and trying to enlarge themselves before their fellow man. And yet, few shall ever approach the extent that Solomon had in all these things. Even so, these things did not bring him happiness. He said, "Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought and all the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun." Vexation simply means annoyance, something that's troublesome and disturbing, even productive of harassment. How many times have we seen live right before us the misery, the insecurity, the unhappiness of prominent people who admit that they would exchange all of their prominence for the peace of the humble man who may have very little of this world's recognition? Prominence, while not sinful in itself, is simply not the way to happiness. But too few people ever really learn that lesson, and they continue to seek it and pursue it. Well, Solomon also had wealth, probably as much or more than any other single element. Wealth is mentioned by people as a necessary ingredient to possess in order to be happy. If wealth would ever make one happy, it should have brought happiness to Solomon. 1 Kings 10 and verse 23 says, "So Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and wisdom." He had a throne of ivory, drinking vessels of gold, navies that constantly brought riches to him from abroad. The Queen of Sheba heard of this wealth and wisdom, and she wanted to see for herself. And so she made a trip there. And after seeing it all, she exclaimed that, the half was not told her. Oh, it is disappointing to so many of our materialistic age to learn, after spending themselves and seeking and acquiring wealth, that such is not capable of producing what they sought. Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 12, he that hath silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. Verse 12, the sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. Verses 15 and 16 tells us, as he came forth of his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came, and shall take nothing of his labor, which he may carry away in his hand. And this also is a sore evil, that in all points as he came, so shall he go. And what profit hath he that hath labored for the wind? Jesus taught in Luke 12 and verse 15, take heed of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. It is not this way because riches are necessarily evil in themselves. They are not. But one may have all these things and yet not be happy. Some of the most miserable people on earth are wealthy. Those who want to be rich often drain their very lives and spirits in quest of wealth, only to find that they have reached for the wind, piercing themselves through with many sorrows. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10. Well, again, Solomon sought and enjoyed the pleasures of this world, satisfying himself in whatever he desired. You know, some confuse happiness with fun and frolic and having what they call a big time and letting themselves go and being on an exciting high, attending parties and entertainments with drunkenness and satisfying the physical lust and appetites. I once stayed in the home of a man while preaching in a gospel meeting who told me that he had once gone the ways of pleasure-seeking, living a wicked life and self-indulgence, but he confessed it only brought him disgrace. He learned that the only real happiness is in living God's way rather than trying to fill life with the pleasures of sin, as we read in Hebrews 11:25. While all pleasure is certainly not sinful, the grasping to satisfy one's desire with sinful pleasures has been demonstrated repeatedly not to be the way of human happiness. Sin pays, all right, but the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. Solomon said, and I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceived that this is vexation of spirit. I said in my heart, go now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure. And behold, this also is vanity. Solomon very uniquely possessed the knowledge and wisdom of this world. 1 Kings 10:24 said, and all the earth sought to Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. Now here was an area where Solomon not only had acquisition, but in which he excelled. Jesus referred to him as a wise man. Now some seem to think that have knowledge for knowledge's sake will bring them satisfaction for which the soul of man longs. This was one of the misconceptions of the people of Athens before whom Paul preached in Acts chapter 17. Some people make themselves professional students, that is, they're ever learning, but never coming to a knowledge of the truth. Knowledge can be very beneficial, and we would not for a moment ridicule the desire to know and the blessings that knowledge can afford. But it cannot produce the happiness of heart and life that man wants and needs. One can know many things, but unless he knows what really matters, his knowledge is ultimately for naught. Some of the most educated and worldly wise people on earth are classified as the most malcontent. This is because the attainment of worldly knowledge does not produce happiness. Solomon said, for in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. The only conclusion that we can draw at this point in our lesson is that such things for which so many strive so hard simply have not the capacity to provide that which is really sought. But in spite of the abundant evidence of this truth, it is not likely that people will cease pursuing these paths in search of happiness. Should not the vanity of these things produce cause for us to turn our attentions elsewhere in the pursuit of happiness? Now, while we do not advocate crushing proper ambitions, but would rather exhort that we take advantage of the good such things can produce, but we insist that we accept their limitations. They cannot bring to mankind the peace of God which passeth understanding, of which Paul spoke in Philippians 4:7. One might find happiness even with these things in his possession, but he will not be happy because of these things. One can have happiness without them. Solomon reached the conclusion. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Friend, there are hundreds of beatitudes in the Bible, that is, expressions that speak of happiness, as well as other passages that are concerned with earthly happiness and where and how it can be found. And from these we learn the source and the definition of genuine happiness. Blessedness is a kind of happiness. That's the idea of the beatitude, blessed is often used. But it's much more than just mere happiness. It has been said that happiness depends upon what's happening. But blessedness is not affected by what happens. Blessedness is more than a light-hearted, carefree, feel-good time jolly idea. Blessedness is more a state of mind. It's a spiritual condition of the soul that describes one's relationship between man and God. Blessedness, different from just mere happiness, is determined by environment and circumstances, but it is an inward quality, a contentment of spirit, regardless of the environment and circumstances. Blessedness is that which derives its existence because of one's relationship with God. It comes from knowing that you're right with God, knowing that you've done your best, living with a clean conscience that has been trained according to God's will. It is a contentment that is not to be confused with a disinterest or a lethargy, but it is a deep, inward, spiritual stability that is not and cannot be shaken by events that befall us. Having laid hold upon what really matters and what really counts, having what really lasts and what is eternal, knowing that you're a child of God, you have a purpose for living, knowing where you're going and why, for this is what brings blessedness of which we speak. This is the ultimate earthly happiness. Now, the best part of any lesson is the Word of God. And I want to read to you a number of passages that present to us information regarding the way of happiness. Psalm 1, 1 and 2. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Psalm 2, 12. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Psalm 84, 4. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. Now you keep in mind, the New Testament teaches that God's house is his church. Psalm 106, verse 3. Blessed are they that keep judgment and that doeth righteousness at all times. You see, friend, happiness is found in right doing. In Job 5, verse 17, happy is the man who God correcteth. In Psalm 144, 15, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Psalm 146, verse 5, happy is he that has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Proverbs 8, 32, blessed are they that keep my ways. Proverbs 16, 20, whoso trusteth the Lord, happy is he. Proverbs 29, 18, he that keepeth the law, happy is he. And after teaching humility and the greatness of serving, in John 13 and verse 7, Jesus said, if ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. There is a principle stated here that we simply must grasp. Happiness is produced by doing as well as thinking. knowing to do right and failing to do right will destroy our happiness. Happiness cannot be ours through neglect. Indeed, James wrote in James 4 and verse 17, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. We cannot be happy in sin. Let me read just a few other verses. 1 Peter 3:14 and also 4:14. But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. You see, dear listener, happiness is available even in trying times, provided you are doing what is eternally true. In Luke 11, verse 28, blessed are they that hear the word of the Lord and keep it. Psalm 40 and verse 4, blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. Paul wrote in Romans 4, 7 and 8, quoting from the Old Testament, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. You see, forgiveness of sins, having that father-child relationship with God, that's the real source of happiness. That's the source of blessedness. Revelation 22 and verse 14 says, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. Friend, if you'll turn and read the Beatitudes of the Sermon on the Mount of Matthew chapter 5, you'll find the terms blessed. These statements are not just a code of ethics. It's not just a moral code, but it's much more. They are part of the gospel of the kingdom, Matthew 4:23, and they present qualities of character that those who make up the kingdom would possess. They are Pentecost pointers because Christ was pointing toward that notable day when the kingdom of God, his church, would come into existence. And as you read these notable texts, you please note the spiritual traits that bring about blessedness, happiness, the kind that God provides. So in closing, we can simply say of happiness, the kind of happiness that is true blessedness, that it is serving God, and it's serving God faithfully. It is my prayer that there be the lot of each of us to know and to cherish this happiness, God's way to happiness. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd.